Welcome to the GOG Cast, brought to you by Mad Cats, all about the game. An XSplit broadcaster, simple yet powerful, live streaming and recording. And now, your host, Leah.
Girls on Games Ass. My name is Leah, and I am your host for this evening. This is episode number 76, and today we've got lots to talk about, mostly focused around DreamHack, because that just happened right here in our beautiful city of Montreal. But before we get into all that jazz, the nitty-gritty, the fun, the bad, the reviews, all that jazz, let's introduce you to the panel of fine gamers and esports lovers that we have on this podcast. We have the co-founder of Girls on Games, Ms. Catherine Smith. How are you doing, Kat?
Hey.
We've got Sarah, our esports connoisseur.
Hi.
And esports connoisseur, especially in the realm of StarCraft. And then on the CSGO / Overwatch front, we've got Simone and our live stream technical producer.
Yes, and the live stream Technimal Felucer.
It's not a GOG cast if Leah doesn't enunciate correctly.
That's true.
That's true. So, I want to get into what everybody's playing, though. I'm pretty sure everybody has been a little bit AFK this weekend, because good reason, DreamHack. But what have you guys been playing otherwise, if you had a few minutes to yourself? Sarah, have you gotten your hands on any games at all?
Well, still Overwatch, duh. But I've been playing a ton of Diablo because the new season of Diablo started not this weekend, the one before.
Oh, nice.
So I went not really crazy, but I decided to, like, let's play it. It's pretty much what I've been playing, to be fair.
Cool. I picked up Diablo again the other night and then hollered on our Discord channel. Shout out to our Discord channel. You should check that out.
Yes, hold on. I'll post a link.
Yes. And hollered at everybody being like, I want to play, but I'm on Xbox.
Yes.
And it was like, boo. And I'm like, yes. But I didn't have a gaming PC when I bought this.
Buy it now. It's pretty cheap.
I know. But I don't know. Should I?
I played with Alice. It was super fun. Come on.
Maybe I should drop the money on it. Question then. Does your game carry over? Like,
no.
Would my character carry over?
No.
Okay.
Well, wait. Is it linked to the Battle.net account?
Yeah.
Yeah, but I don't think it would.
Don't count on it.
No, but you want to
play with a controller, because I really like the controller settings.
I think you can still do it.
I think so.
Yeah, I play most PC games with an Xbox One controller.
Yeah, because I must say, this is amazing. Like, when I feel like
casuals.
Being totally dumb and lazy and just sitting back and just staring at the computer, my TV here, and just hitting buttons. That is the game to play when I just want to hit buttons. Kat, what have you been playing?
I haven't been playing anything except Candy Crush.
Ah! Okay.
This is what happened when I'm busy, and I commute a lot underground, and Candy Crush, you don't need data. It's one of the only games that you don't need data. So I downloaded the new one, Candy Crush Jelly, I think, because I got stuck in the regular Candy Crush, and I got stuck in Crush Soda. So I was like, whatever, there's a third game. I installed it. That's what I'm playing right now. I still have my game of Witcher that's still waiting for me to finish more side quests. Still not to Novigrad. Still in side quests. I know, I'm horrible. But I am seriously thinking about picking up Undertale. I saw that Julian was tweeting about it today. Yeah. And now I'm just like, yeah, that looks good.
Yeah.
Honestly, for a girl who runs a gaming blog, you don't game at all. I think every time we've had you on the cast, we're like, I haven't had time to play games this week.
Well,
I haven't had time to play games this week.
That's the ironic thing.
The fuck, man.
The more this blog is successful, the less time Leah and I have to actually play some fucking games.
Okay, and you did buy a house.
I did buy a house, and I did spend 2 Sundays in a row putting up Gyp Rock. And then tomorrow night, my brother's like, I'm going to the Home Depot by your work, so meet me there and we'll pick up more Gyp Rock. And I'm like, that sounds amazing.
Perfect.
I guess my date with Geralt is pushed back to Wednesday.
Aww.
Oh my, yeah, it's a struggle. Real life. out of fact, I know. Like, we started, Kat and I started GOG kind of as a reason to, like, have a gaming habit. You know what I mean? And, yeah.
But that's why for, like, the past 2 years, I was so heavy on 3DS games. Because I could take them with me.
That's true.
And now, and my boyfriend wanted to play Fire Emblem, which was a download, so he borrowed my 3DS. Now I have it back. The only thing is my commute is too short to play. When I have long outings, now I take it, and I'm back in, I should get back into Fire Emblem and Bravely Second, because I love those JRPGs. They're really good. It's just, I have 3 Metro Station now. All I have time to do is, like, waste 3 Candy Crush lives.
Hey, man, then no complaining. You're close to work.
Yeah, yeah. But actually, I'm lying. At lunch, we started playing Mario Kart 8.
Oh, nice.
Yeah, well, you kind of work in the gaming environment anyway, so.
I do, and I have no time to play games. But at lunch, we started, my Wii U still at work, and we went back on a Mario Kart 8 kick. We tried 200cc. Fuck, we sucked.
So fast.
As fast as fuck, we're like, okay, let's go to 150cc mirrored, and then we'll get back to 200 in about a week.
Yeah.
So that's what I've been playing. Sorry, long intro.
Simon.
Hi.
What have you been playing, my dear?
Overwatch.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah, I've been playing
some... You guys are playing that at DreamHack.
Yeah. Because it was funny, because it was... When was it? Like, we were waiting for the Rocket League finals or something. There was some delay or whatever. We're like, hey, well, we have an hour to kill. We just had dinner. Let's go to the Bell booth. So we just went to the Bell booth, and we were switching off between playing... I was playing CS on a computer, and my friend Bianca was playing Overwatch on another computer, and we're just, like, switching out for an hour until we actually, like, okay, yeah, we got our Overwatch fixed for the day. We're good now.
Nice.
So, yeah, Overwatch, been playing some No Man's Sky. Spoilers, don't buy it. And I've been playing some...
Can I talk about that later,
too? I've been playing some World of Warcraft, actually. I'm getting back. The expansion's coming out soon. So I've been catching up on all the new stuff and trying to find a guild and all that stuff, so... Yeah, mm-hmm. That's been, and Pokemon Go still, of course, every day.
Keeping it up.
Yep.
You want to be that Pokemon master.
I'm trying.
So, yeah.
I got Snorlax. It's so freaking awesome.
Nice. Yeah. On my front, yeah, I've been playing Diablo 3 and a game I'm reviewing. More details on that to come. And what else? Yeah, I'm still playing Sailor Moon Drops. Same kind of thing as you, Kat. It's like something. Ooh, Snorlax.
Hold on, we can't see the CP. It's too
bright. You have to tell us.
It's 1877.
Nice. But yeah, I've been playing Sailor Moon Drops commuting on the bus because you really only have time for like one round. That's it. Quick, it's fast. What can I say? All right, before we get into all the fun topic that is DreamHack, I want to go through some news and stuff. So, I'm going to start this off because I asked y'all to grab a piece of news that you want to talk about, but I'm going to start it all off because PSN is coming with a new update, 4.0 to be exact. Beta version's coming real soon, I think tomorrow for those who had signed up for the program. But there's some really cool stuff that's going to be in this update, including a new quick menu, which actually looks really familiar to the snap feature on the Xbox One. But the cool thing about it is it's fully customizable. So instead of like hitting the PlayStation button and going like all the way back to the main menu to go like check your messages or change your song on Spotify or something like that, you can update the menu on the side, the quick menu, so that, you know, if you want to skip a song because you don't want to hear that Justin Bieber track again, you can do so. As long as Spotify is part of it. I would assume that would be one of the things they would put there. That would make total sense to me. Also, apparently they're doing like a better layout of the navigation when it comes to the content on your PSN or your PlayStation.
Oh, yeah?
So that it's easier to find the games that you've bought.
Yeah, it's true, because like one thing I hate about PS4 is like the menu is like, ugh. It's like you have to go all the way to the end to find something you haven't played in a while or something. Mm-hmm. It's kind of annoying.
It's the truth. Yeah, it's one thing that Xbox really had figured out well is actually navigating that, but then again, I usually just end up yelling at my Xbox. But yeah, it's going to help, I think, because if you want to go back and play a game that you haven't played in a while, it's a bit of a trek. You got to scroll all the way to the end. So yeah, I'm excited to see this come to play for everybody. I guess we'll get some reviews on the beta version in the next little while, and then when it rolls out to everybody else. I'm always iffy about signing up for the beta versions of that kind of stuff, because I'm afraid it's going to break my console, and that's a problem when you have to review a game.
Yeah.
So, yeah, we'll see how it pans out.
I signed up for an iOS 10 beta on my phone.
Mm-hmm.
Don't do that.
Don't do that?
My phone keeps crashing and locking, and it's just horrible. Like, I'm too lazy to find out how to downgrade, so I'm just going to wait for them to actually release it. But don't go into the iOS 10 beta. Do not.
Sometimes I want to do the betas when I know I can, like, I don't have to rely on something. But, yeah, bricking my console, bricking my iPhone, not happening. I need it too much.
Agreed.
All right, the next bit of news, I'm going to throw it to Catherine, because we got some details about Final Fantasy 15 that is not super happy. Yeah.
I mean, it depends who you are. Final Fantasy 15 got delayed to November 29th. So today, there was an official press release, full comments from Hajime Tabata, the game director. He said, as the director and lead of this project, I wish to personally apologize for the additional wait. As a team, we want Final Fantasy 15 to achieve a level of perfection that our fans deserve. We kindly ask for your understanding. So basically, they're like, hey, we want it to be perfect. We don't want to release a buggy game. So I think there's one of the releases that was supposed to be... other release date for the disc version of both Kingsslave Final Fantasy and Brotherhood Final Fantasy is digital version. The release date of Kingsslave Final Fantasy 15 digital version is unchanged from August 30th. So, I don't know what those are. Are they like add-ons?
I'm not certain.
Me neither. I don't know. Final Fantasy confuses me now.
Yeah.
But anyway, the main game, which is what I'm interested about, the rest can kind of fire. I barely have time to play Candy Crush, so I'm not going to play all this extra shit. Final Fantasy 15, end of November. I don't think it's going to hurt the game. I think it's going to be better, to be honest.
My only problem is we were reviewing the review schedule for the rest of the fall, and November is like, hello, game. And I'm like, I want to play them all, and now I have to choose. This isn't cool. But that happens every November. But it just means we're throwing more into the end of November.
Yeah, well, I mean, my strategy, aside from, like, if I have a game to review or whatever, is usually I just get what I want to play first, and then when I'm ready for the next game, then I get it. And sometimes, if I wait long enough, it gets on sale.
But like November already, I've got three games that are like on my must-play list, which include Watch Dogs 2, Gravity Rush 2, and Pokemon Sun/Moon. So now Final Fantasy's added into that mix? That's a lot. It's a lot.
Yeah, but I mean, I don't think Final Fantasy is the kind of game that you need to jump on right away. I would focus more on Pokemon, because then you can, there's a whole like community aspect to it.
Yeah.
And also it never changes price, so you can get it now. And then, I mean, Watch Dogs and Final Fantasy, you can probably get it on sale by next summer, unless you really want to play it right away.
No, I want to play that one right away, because I was probably one of the few people that didn't have a hate on for that game. I actually really enjoyed it.
What game?
I mean, it definitely had
Watch Dogs.
That was fun.
I had there's definitely faults in it. I mean, it's
it was a fun game. I liked it.
I actually had a lot of fun with it. So,
no, I had fun with it. Yeah, me too.
Yeah, I didn't finish it because the story and the protagonist didn't speak to me, but the actual gameplay and settings and mechanics and the puzzles.
The protagonist didn't speak to anybody. He was a shell. Poor Aiden.
He was an excuse.
Yeah. All right, let's move on to some Overwatch news. We're going to start with Sarah first because she has some details about some new shorts coming out about characters.
Bastion!
Yay!
Bastion, you sure about Bastion, one of my favorite characters, even though he receives so much hate. Yeah, but I mean, like, people have managed to find a way to get around him and get around his things. So unless you have, like, a Mercy and a Reinhardt, like, in front of him, you can pretty much take him down. But, new short for Bastion. It looks so amazing. They just released like a small image just saying like it's a new animated show, and it premieres at GamesCon on August 18 at 6 p.m. CEST. So around noon for us, I think, I would assume.
Yeah, that makes sense.
Yeah, there you go. And so what Bastion is an Omnic that I think was in the wall of the Omnics between Overwatch and the Omnics and whatnot. And Bastion is considered neutral. Not a bad Omnic or not a good Omnic like Zenyatta. Zenyatta is a good Omnic. Anyway, I'm getting over myself, but there you go. And he was in a forest lost, and he was shut down, and he just awakens one day for no reason. And it's about this story and how he came to be. And it looks so good. And I love Bastion. He's just like this cutest little thing.
He's adorable.
He's adorable. He's like a killing machine, but he's adorable.
Yeah. I remember playing with Michael and playing Bastion. He was a freaking powerhouse.
Had this little bird flying around.
Yes, the bird! There you go. So, so he's like a curious little thing that just, I don't know. I'm really looking forward to it. All of the animated shorts from Blizzard are always good. Oh, man.
Yeah.
Blizzard does cinematographics like no one else, in my opinion.
That Soldier 76 one was so good.
It was amazing. Even the Genji Hanzo.
Yeah, the Genji one was really awesome.
Amazing. Genji Hanzo one. Oh my god, like the feels.
There you go. So I'm really looking forward to that one. Just you'll find it on the Blizzard website too after on YouTube and everything. But if you can catch it once it goes out, I think it's gonna be really worth your time. Really good.
Should make an evening with a bottle of wine and all of those.
Oh, it's not that long.
Watch them back to back.
It's like maybe half an hour?
Yeah, it's half an hour, so there's not that many.
I can make an evening. Come on.
and then go watch people stream some Overwatch.
But then there's also all of the expanded games lore, like the comics and then the graphic novel that's coming.
Oh my god, did you look at the Anna one?
Yeah, I did. There we go. So you can. There's so much. That's what I like about Blizzard. Yes, they make a game. They make the lore, but then they make so much. Mm. So the lore is fantastic for every game. Mm. I don't play World of Warcraft, but then the lore for World of Warcraft is crazy.
Don't get me started.
Diablo again, and then even StarCraft. When you look at StarCraft, the whole lore behind it in the story. There's each and every game has a story behind it, and it's really. They're amazing at that. Blizzard is amazing at that.
Yeah, they really know how to build out the universe so that there's more to love beyond just the gameplay. Like, you have these emotional connections. Because if not, they could just be characters and that's it.
Yep.
But the fact that they're able to build this emotional reaction outside of the game itself and why people have such a dedicated attraction to them is kind of unbelievable. And I don't really know any other company that does it in quite the same manner that they do.
And that also attracts their customers to actually play other Blizzard games. Mm. I rarely hear someone say, oh, I only play one of their games. No, they'll be like, I play Overwatch, I play Diablo, I play StarCraft, I play Hearthstone, I play Heroes of the Storm. Like, once you start getting into Blizzard, you kind of just fall into it and play multiple of their games, which is amazing for them, actually.
You know, which is pretty crazy when you think about it, because almost every single of their games are hits. Like,
Rarely. Some of them, like Heroes of the Storm, wasn't as big of a hit as they intended to be.
But
at the same time, it's still fun. It's still doing good. Mm-hmm. But and then at the same time, you look at Hearthstone, which they never intended for it to be such a big hit,
and
it
huge.
Exploded. So they always manage one way or another to make a game that is good, that is easily playable. I feel like most of them are easily playable, other than StarCraft. But StarCraft's another case, and you can always get into them and. Some of the stories transfer from game to game. Heroes of the Storm has a lot of characters that come from other games, as well as Hearthstone. And it's. I feel that they're great at that, making great storylines, making great lore, and making good games that are highly enjoyable, in my opinion.
Actually, after Dreamhack a weekend, I really wanted to get into StarCraft again. I remember that from being a kid and just not having a chance to play round two.
You know what we should do?
What should we do?
We should get Tempo to teach you. We should get
Tempo.
That would be great.
I know StarCraft from the original and Brood War and all that kind of stuff.
It's not the same
I'm
thing.
Sure you all saw my tweet that day that I found all the discs.
Yeah.
But, remember that? Yeah, and the original Diablo discs and all that stuff. But I haven't played that version, the new version yet. So that could be quite entertaining.
It'd be fun.
Yeah. Continuing on with the Overwatch news, Simon's got a little bit of details when it comes to the speed of the servers that good old folks over at Blizzard upped.
It's funny because they pretty much they released it and didn't really talk about it for a couple days, which is pretty impressive because the way that servers are used to work in Overwatch is that they were running at something called the 20 tick or 20 hertz, which pretty much means that in very, very layman's terms, it means that it meant that every second the server would refresh to your computer 20 times. That's very layman, but means that sometimes you would in games like Overwatch, where it's very precise and what you're shooting, that kind of stuff, it means that you hit that player, but since there was a delay in when you're updating and the server is updating, then you missed the shot. But I should not have missed the shot, and that's something that Counter-Strike players have been dealing with for a long time. But now Blizzard just said, okay, well, we're upping from 20 to 63 tick. So now, every second, there's pretty much 60 back and forth between your computer and the server that you're on. So it means that it's a lot less likely that you're going to be missing a shot that you thought you were going to hit. So, I mean, for competitive play and for online casual play, it's going to make a huge, huge difference between that. So, but, they basically tripled the load on their server because that's pretty much what they did, you know? So, I mean, that's pretty impressive that they're able to do that.
Now, is this something that they're rolling out across the board for everybody? Doesn't matter if you're playing competitive or casual, or are they focusing more on competitive?
No, it's everything.
It's going to be everybody?
All the servers are going to be 60 tick.
And how about if your bandwidth is not quite high enough or not at that speed?
It's not. No, it's so minimal, the amount of data that you send. Like, unless you're you play on dial-up, you won't notice a difference at all.
Okay.
But they still
play on dial-up.
But they still said that if the game senses that your server, that you can handle it, they'll bring it down for you.
Yeah, it'll opt out.
There's in-tech in it. So
smart.
You shouldn't feel too much of it. You should be fine.
I mean, from 20 to 60 is not that much, you know.
But... Okay. So, Simon, do you think this is going to make a major difference in competitive play? Or
yes.
Is it just...
Yes. Yeah, it's going to make a major difference. I mean, again, I'm going back to the Counter-Strike parallel, but major tournaments in Counter-Strike are played at 128 tick seconds, 128 tick servers. And, regular matchmaking in Counter-Strike is 64. So just the fact that a game like Overwatch, which I think... Sarah can correct me, but I think it's a bit less aim dependent in Counter-Strike can be. There's headshots and body shots, but I feel that the hitbox issue, that kind of stuff is a bit less important than Counter-Strike. So I feel that 63 is probably a very good in between 128 and 20. That 60 is a good number that I think even probably tournament servers are going to run at the same sort of tick rate, which should be
okay. Fine. So you don't think they'd go up higher for the purpose?
I don't think so. I mean, they could. I mean, if you're online, technically there's no limit to how much you can do. So maybe online you'll do 128, but maybe for the sake of being equal everywhere, that they're just going to be no, it's just going to be 63 everywhere, whatever the situation or if it's tournament or not. So we'll see.
It's also going to fix the issue. I don't know if you've had that, Simon, but for me, in a lot of games, even when I play casual, the issue of the overtime.
Yeah.
When you run into overtime and then you have to have someone that's on a capture point, and then the game ends, either you win or you lose, but most of the time it's when you lose. You had someone on your team on the on the pad, they just got in, right as the overtime kind of runs out, but then you still lose because...
It didn't update fast enough.
Yeah.
It's almost like the Olympics when touching the pad. You know, they had the two girls win the Olympics gold medal in the race because they both touched in the exact same moment, but there's only a certain amount that they can count it by. If they go down even another millisecond, maybe they could have counted it, but it's just to the value that they counted. Mm-hmm. And I guess they're just making it more exact.
There you go.
Yeah, no, I mean, it's great news, and it's a great step forward for competitive play. And the other great step forward into competitive play is, season one of competitive is ending pretty soon. So season two is going to start, a couple weeks, months, I don't know. And they're going to do a lot of changes into ranks. I think season one ranks were really... less than stellar. Like, they even said that they put that ranking system because they had to put a ranking system and they wanted to try a couple things out. But right now, the way it works is that you're ranked between 1 and 100. And pretty much, like, it's a bell curve like any other competitive game. And if you're, like Jeff Kaplan was saying, if you're at rank 60, then you're among the top 6% Overwatch players in the world. So I think the highest someone got was at like 71 or 72 or something.
82 or 85. Jesus Christ, like insane. One person. That's but insane. Yeah, it happened. Yeah, it's crazy.
So, but like the way it worked is that like you won games and then like you went up a rank, but then you lost games and then you went down more and then like, and then when you came back after, when you won, you didn't go up as high. And it was kind of confusing how they were showing rank progression when you were playing.
So like one step forward, two steps back sort of deal?
Yeah, and then you won again, but then you don't go up another level, even though you just lost one. So it was kind of weird how they were handling it. Because they were limited to like 1 to 100. So now what they announced is that it's going to be from 1 to 5,000. So ranks are going to be completely different, and so that's going to be like one of the main change that they're going to make. And the other main change they're going to make is that there's going to be tier. I don't know if they're going to be called tiers or
leagues. I think they're going to go kind of like StarCraft.
I don't know what the name is going to be, but it's going to be like bronze, diamond, gold, platinum, all that stuff. That like you know when you're in a when you're in one of the section of 1 to 5,000, then you'll be a gold player. So even if you lose a couple, you win a couple, you'll always be a gold player. So players don't feel like they're kind of like losing. Oh, if you're not at least ranked 50, you suck. But okay, but now I'm a gold player, so you know that you're always going to be playing against other gold players. So I thought that was really interesting how they I think League of Legends have that kind of system. A lot of other like online versus games, PvP games have that kind of system where, yes, you have your individual rank and number, but then you actually like you're in your own league depending on how well you do. So even if you go down a couple levels, doesn't matter. You're still playing against people that are as strong as you. So I think it's gonna be more interesting for people who play it, and for people looking for teams, also probably gonna be more interesting because right now the threshold I found is if you're at least not rank 50, no one's even gonna look at you. So, which is, you know, it's kind of weird because if like I don't play competitive that much. I think I finished rank 51 or 52, but it doesn't count individual play at all. It's really, do you win or do you lose?
Oh, yeah, that's not really fair.
No.
Yeah, they also changed when you, maybe you've had that happen to you too, Simon, when you play with, like you're in a group and you play with someone that's a really, really low level, mm-hmm. It changes your group's like mid-range or like whatever number because they you have your rank and they also rank your group. Mm-hmm. So some people, what they would do, they would go like higher level, let's say 57, whatever, and then they play with someone that's 25, level 25, meaning it would tank their group rank, so they would essentially just get the game, like an easier game, so they would win.
Play against people that are lower rank than them, and then get wins.
So they fixed that. Now you won't be able to play with someone that's like 1,000 level lower than you. Mm-hmm. Which is essentially like what would now be 10 levels.
A different league, okay. Almost, pretty much.
Yeah, so you can't do that now. And the leagues, Simon, when you said that you didn't really know why the system they had in place right now, why they had it, was because the people that were playing in the beta, it's mainly competitive players and players that had been playing games like that. And they said at first that they didn't want a ladder, like a normal ladder that you would feel that you'd get in other games. So Blizzard were like, okay, well, we have to make some kind of ranking system. So they installed that, but then like now the casual gamers actually do want a ladder. And since casual gamers are the main
95% of people playing the game.
There you go. So they're like, okay, well, we're gonna install a ladder. And I think that they kind of took the ladder as the same as StarCraft is, because it's kind of the same names that happen in StarCraft, and ladder is kind of like that. Now you are in your ladder, but you also get your rank, and then that's kind of what they did, I think. But I think it's a really good idea personally. Mm-hmm. I like it too.
I think it's going to be real interesting to see exactly how they manage to like to bring this to the forefront and make it interesting for everyone. And I think that it's really smart. And I'm personally going to be very excited to grind to that platinum level or whatever the fuck it's going to be called.
There you go.
All right. We had a bunch of other news stories that we could cover, but I can see we're
already.
deep into the into our hour here, and I want to talk about DreamHack, obviously. So we got to talk about this because No Man's Sky came out, and Simon is currently reviewing it for us, and he has an article stating how many people are currently playing the game. Simon?
That was Sarah.
Oh, I thought it was Simon.
No, oh, never mind. Simon can cover it. Simon can
I can talk about it because I'm reviewing the game, but I mean...
that's why I thought it was you. There we go. There we go. Okay. Go for it, Sarah.
Okay. Well, 212,000 something people are playing No Man's Sky at once, so it's the biggest Steam launch of the year. And then people are like, well, Dota has more people. Yes, but... for a launch, it's one of the biggest, and I think it's one of Steam's biggest launch forever, too. But the reviews are generally positive, but there's still people, and some people are not really a fan of it for different reasons. I was watching one of my favorite YouTubers who played it, and at first he said, he made a video about it and said, I didn't want to make that review, but since so many people requested it, I did. And he said that he liked the game. It's a good game. The idea is really good, the open world and everything. He loved that. And it's a good kind of exploring and inventory game, whatever. But what he didn't like about it was the combat system. He really didn't like the combat system. He said that it felt lacking in a lot of ways. So I think that's kind of the biggest problem for most reviewers is that the combat system. The rest of the game is really good. They really like it, but it's missing a few things. So maybe Valve will fix it, or maybe like, oh no, it's a Hello Games, isn't it? Maybe Hello Games will fix that at some point. Maybe make it more PvE instead of whatever they have right now, which I don't really know. I haven't played the game, but I've heard so many things about it. So many people wanted to play it, but it's still they made a great launch. People seem to really like it overall. So we'll see what happens next with it, but it's mixed reviews, but generally positive. So
Simon, you've been playing and we gave you the PS4 code for review and then you ended up buying it on PC.
Yep. Well, I mean, I don't want to spoil my review, but yeah, I have it on PS4. I have a first-gen PS4, still, you know. I'll keep it updated and everything, and the game just kept crashing on me. I could not, every time I would try to go in space or whatever, the game would crash, and sometimes it wouldn't, sometimes it would. So I'm like, okay, well then, am I the only one having this? And I was reading online, like, no, a lot of people's games, PlayStation have been crashing, like, for no reason when playing the game. I'm like, well, that's kind of annoying as hell. And not only that, but the fact that the field of view on PS4 is so narrow. You're so, like, the gun pretty much takes, like, 3/4 of the screen. The field of view is so small that I actually get dizzy playing the game. Like, when you move around and, like, the movement is so janky and so weird. Like, because how the game is, like, textured and made, it's low res but like highly textured. I don't know, it's hard to explain. It's very almost cartoony, and a mix of that and the super low field of view makes me really barfy. So I'm like, whatever, I'm just gonna buy it on PC. So I bought it on PC, not as many crashes. There's a field of view slider, so I put that shit all the way to 100, and I was able to actually enjoy the game a lot more now. So but so far, I mean, if you have the option of getting it on PC, I would say get it on PC, unless you're very confident in your PS4.
Now, a conversation that's kind of going on in the Twitch chat, and something that I've heard too, is a lot of people think that the hype's going to die out for this pretty quick. We've got a lot of games coming this fall. Do you think it's going to die out pretty quick?
Yeah. Unless Hello Games, like, do updates right the heck now, it's going to die out really quickly. Because maybe I'm like 3 or 4 hours in and I already feel like I'm doing the same thing over and over and over and over again. And I usually don't mind. Like, I played WoW for 10 years, like, which you do the same thing over and over again. But there's something extremely repetitive about that game that just does not get my attention. Like, there's not that feeling of progression. I feel that, you know, for a grindy game, usually you want to get. Like, I always feel like I'm doing the same thing, and I don't know, I'm not super impressed so far. But we'll see.
All right.
Still early.
Wait and see. You've got to put a few more hours into it before you give us your impressions on it. And we'll keep watching. I mean, I watched a few people stream it. And if you are not a super animated person who can really perform in the process and like give that extra something to the game, I think it's a hard game to stream.
Well, yeah, it's a hard game to stream because there's not that much going on. It's very calm. It's very quiet. Well, for me so far anyways. I think that it's a fun game and it's a fun concept. A bit like what Marcus Blaster is saying in chat. It's a very cool concept. Super interesting. Technology-wise, like the game is 3 gigs because it's all procedurally generated. Very interesting and very cool and very smart, but a bit like the first Assassin's Creed, I feel like it's lacking some depth. It's lacking a lot of stuff that would make the game very interesting in the long run, interesting to watch even. Like, I'm streaming it on Friday. Judges still out if I'm actually going to stream it on Friday. But, like, you'll see that it's... Yes, it's randomly generated, but it's all the same so far.
So we'll just have to wait for No Woman's Sky?
I guess so. That or just update the game.
It's
going to
be
more
the
stuff.
Deeper version because we're emotionally deep.
Oh, yes. Right? Agreed.
Right? There we go. Sorry. Zing.
Hey, I live alone. I can say whatever the hell I want. And my cat's male, so my cat doesn't care.
That's funny. All right, let's get into the main topic of the show, which is DreamHack. DreamHack Montreal just took place. We're still kind of hungover from it. It took place Friday, Saturday, Sunday. Today is Monday. So, yeah, we are just outside of the whole event. It took place at Placebon Adventure. I don't think they've released numbers yet of how many people were in attendance. That's not out yet. I imagine a press release will come tomorrow or the next day stating that. Usually they give that kind of detail. So I know Comic-Con does. I would expect
they should. They should.
I'm kind of curious to see what their attraction was because first thing I want to get into is first impressions from everybody. Myself, when I went there on Friday, now mind you, I went there like right after work. So it was like 5:30, 6 o'clock when I got there. Pretty empty, but the space looked really good. So I had high hopes for Saturday. Then when I came back on Saturday around 2 o'clock, the place was pretty packed, but still space to move around, which is good, but lots of bodies, especially over in that StarCraft venue where they had, you know, that should have been the centerpiece. Okay, that was fucking beautiful. Like, that's every time I've wanted an esports event here in town and I've gone to one, and I'm like, that's what I expect.
That's what it should look like.
That's what it should look like. Yeah. With the lights and the gaffle, I don't know what you call those cage things that they set up, and it looks all spiffy and like smoke effects and TV screens everywhere and the streamers, casters coming out over the PA and people getting all ramped up. That was invigorating.
Yeah.
So, folks, Kat, I want to get your 2 cents. How did you feel about DreamHack for the very first edition here in Montreal?
I feel like it was a much larger scale event than what we've seen so far with ESWC, with LAN ETS, with all of that. But it didn't feel as big. I don't know if it was the setup, because I feel like maybe the booths were bigger. And it wasn't as cramped because LAN ETS being an amateur competition, the BYOC section is really big. And I think maybe it cramped up the booths and DreamHack had less BYOCs. So I don't know why. Maybe it was, we had more space, except the Indie Zone. The Indie Zone was like
tiny.
It was crazy, but like around the Bell booth, around every other booth, it was like, I could twirl around and be like, look at all the space. But I could barely make my way to Majors in Australia to go see if my friend was there. So I don't know. That's my thing. Like, the space management was a bit weird. But other than that, production value was up there. I was thoroughly impressed with the production value on site and on stream. I was like, this is how you do a fucking... Like, even the secondary stages looked amazing. And, yeah... I think they have to maybe find a better solution for seating, like the row of just chairs and then the weird college style bleachers. Yeah, I'm not sure that was very comfortable or very practical.
No, it wasn't inducive to long hours of sitting.
The chairs were horrible. Like me and Bianca were sitting in chairs and we're like, I feel like I have to hunch in those chairs because they're like weirdly placed and... No, I don't know. And in fact, they were all like taped together so you can like move the chairs around a bit just to be more comfortable. Were just kind of strange. So No, chairs were boo.
Yeah, Simon, do you got any more details on your first impression of the event?
Like you guys, I felt that the StarCraft II stage was really, really cool. Like what Sarah said in chat, it was pretty much that's WCS, you know, that's what they do. They bring that show with them wherever they go. I was a bit disappointed though for first DreamHack, because usually DreamHack, whatever, around the world where they go, there's usually bigger tournaments than this. And I feel that apart from WCS, like there was this, the Rocket League was really, really interesting, really great, but no big names that I know of. CSGO, not a single high-level team was there. So Smash, I don't know the scene enough to know if there was any high-level players there, but I don't know, it felt that apart from StarCraft, everything else was kind of very amateur, and it felt a bit like at the S plus one, if you want to say. Like, it didn't feel like it was a DreamHack that I like. Probably if we went to DreamHack Austin or whatever, then that would have been fucking amazing. Like, it's huge. There's a lot of people and production value and all that kind of stuff. But it really just felt, I don't know. Like, the venue, I think the venue is great. I think there's a lot of potential. But I think that there's so much stuff that they could do better and that they could do, like, they can bring more interesting people to the event to make it even more international than what it was right now. So I don't even know if it's going to come back to Montreal. I don't know. We'll see, but.
Yeah, Sarah, I know you've got a little bit of insight on some of the stuff and how it went down with DreamHack. You were at DreamHack Austin, so you have some details when it comes to comparing the two North American events. They're both brand new, but still a little bit more context. So do you want to fill us in on your two cents on DreamHack?
So as far as floor management, I agree with everything that was said. In my opinion, it wasn't as good as it could have been. I don't understand why the BYOC was in the middle of everything. That made no sense to me. Why would you put the BYOC in the middle of everything? Mm. In Austin, it was always like on the wall, on the side. Mm. It was good. You could see everything, but it wasn't like in the middle of it, yeah. Which for me in Montreal, I'm like, okay, BYOC is cool, but at the same time, why would you put it in that space? But then at the end of the day, it's their decision.
But the first thing we should have seen walking up those stairs is the WCS stage.
I can explain to
that's
you
the
why
the first thing we should have seen.
Okay. So the thing is, it was supposed to have a CSGO event at DreamHack. When Simon said, oh, normally they have way more events, it's true. It was supposed to happen. But then the CSGO players were like, we have had so much traveling to do, so many events already to do. We're taking a break. So the CSGO event got just cut out, which it sadly happens sometimes when you know that you won't have the players. It's not worth it to have the event. Mm. So that's why the Rocket League stage, that was supposed to be the CSGO place, right? So that's why they put the WCS at the end. But then what I don't understand is when you knew that the CSGO event was cut out, why didn't you redo your
bring
plan?
The WCS up front.
Yeah, exactly, and bring it out front, because I think that everybody, even people that never even watched StarCraft before, I think they actually enjoyed the event.
It was great.
For itself, there you go. So that's my main little problem with it. They should have redone the whole floor plan once they knew that some of the events that they want, the Dota, I think they wanted some Dota 2, but then TI6 for the same weekend. Like, so those things for me, that was kind of the things that like little iffy. And then as Kat said, the indie zone, way too small, way too like narrow. I'm like, why? It made no sense. But then I think the floor plan design was just not good. But it
they could have cut like Monster's huge freaking boot for nothing by half.
I'm sure they paid for
and
that.
And then
though,
just bam, so. Made the whole like, I know, but
I
it's
know, but
dumb.
They had space. They could have moved the wall back from the indie zone into that other venue that there was never anything up on stream. Mind you, my graphic was on stream the whole time.
Yeah. That's true.
Well, people at DreamHack, listen up here. Like, you know, credit the people to make the graphics, just saying.
But I think it's Zelani TS.
Okay, I'm a little salty.
I think it's Zelani TS people and might not be DreamHack themselves.
Whatever.
Yeah, it was clearly Googled image because Lee had made that graphic for our article.
EGN used it. They used it on stage, like it was, and I was like, "What the fuck?" At least, well, understand too. Like, it's the picture of Montreal behind was a Creative Commons that you had to credit the dude, which I did in my article. You know what I mean?
But like, but when you Google DreamHack Montreal, when you Google DreamHack Montreal, it's the fourth image. It's that one, and it's like on our site.
But that's because I know how to SEO, yo. Yeah.
But yeah, so overall, that's kind of like the reasons behind the whole thing. They should have just remade the floor plan, but they didn't. But the production value, DreamHack normally brings production value.
Definitely.
I went behind, and like when you went behind the WCS stage place, it's crazy. Like all of the equipment they have, it's just off the wall, and it's really great. They made a really good thing with that, so I'm happy about that. I think the tournament was really good. It was Friday was what we call Upset City. Max came up with that name.
Yeah.
It was Upset City because the people that they thought would advance through just didn't, and nobody expected that, and nobody expected Marin Law to actually manage to get where he was, which was almost the end of it. So it was just crazy tournament. It was amazing. It was really good for that. But I feel that they could have done better. They did good. They could have done better. I do believe that if they get the numbers, if they got the numbers that they wanted, they'll come back to Montreal for a list of reasons. One of them being that Montreal is semi-cheap. Montreal has a huge gaming community. Mm. Toronto doesn't have that huge gaming community. Vancouver is too expensive. Why would you go to Vancouver? It's too expensive.
Well, not only that, but they've said multiple times that the Eastern time zone is like the most convenient time zone for European watchers on Twitch.
Also,
that's also something if they want to come to Canada, like Montreal, Toronto is
and,
one of the
And just like
decisions.
When you go look at the geography, Montreal is close to a lot of big cities too. Mm-hmm. So we'll see. I hope it comes back to Montreal. I don't see why it wouldn't, unless it was a pure fiasco for them, which I don't believe it was. Mm. So I'm guessing that they'll come back. Maybe like they'll change a lot of things. I'm sure they'll change a lot of things. But overall, for me, it was good. It wasn't as amazing as Austin, because Austin was a huge venue and it was just that much bigger. But overall, it was good. I liked it.
I'm with Max. He said, well, on stream, the WCS was amazing as hell. Yeah, the production value when it came to the actual competition, the hype during the competition, being there live when Scarlett won and the place erupted.
That was amazing.
That was brilliant. She's like, from here, transgender gamer, you know, like making an upset. Like the Upset City is like, you want the people you were thinking going to win so that you have like a like exciting in that factor. You know, and to make the legitimacy behind the contest and all that kind of stuff. But at the same time, having the upsets really
gets so much fun.
It is though.
It makes a good tournament.
Exactly. So from that side, I think from the production value, from the actual the I don't think there was any really hangups with the tech not working.
Like they had
dropping.
That's some CS:GO issues.
Some CS:GO issues. Okay, but yeah, for StarCraft, I think it was okay. But yeah, like on that side, it was good. I think they could have made the presentation as you entered the building nicer, because it looked pretty minimal. It almost looked LAN ETS style. Like I was expecting to walk in and to get this like, DreamHack.
It was just a poster on the wall with an arrow.
There wasn't anything. I'm like, I need to take a fucking social media picture. Where do I do it? In the dark thing over here. Mm. I mean, those are things that like you learn over time. Right? So I'm willing to give them the benefit of the doubt there. All the other stuff seemed to go really well. The people were super nice that were working there and helpful. And both exhibition in the exhibitor space, in, you know, the people running the contests, the competitions, and then also the volunteers that were there. And it was really cool seeing all these like-minded people hang out together, like getting folks from the CS community, getting to meet other streamers who had came into town specifically for that. Us in the Montreal gaming community having a chance to get together and hang out, you know, going to Meltdown afterwards, which was the bomb.
By the way, did you guys know there was a speedrunning section at DreamHack?
Was that the one down in the corner when you walked in?
Yeah.
That
sucked. That sucked. I love speedrunning, and it's so interesting and so fun to watch, and it was horribly placed in the middle of freaking nowhere. Like, I don't understand. Why even have it if you're not going to promote it at all? It was so weak. I was so disappointed by that.
Yeah, the actual people streaming and playing were behind the screen, mm-hmm. and then there was just a screen, mm-hmm. and you didn't really... It looked like almost a broadcast from somewhere else. They didn't really put them up on a pedestal, and they could have.
It's really
You know what I mean? They really could have.
Speedrunning is so unpopular. I don't understand why they're not... Like, they didn't make something more interesting. That just that
yeah, I love speedrunning. But yeah, it's hard in those cases, too, to set it up. And it is major production value, and it's something people need to learn, too. It's an art. It's a job, just the production, let alone the actual game side of things. So,
too bad.
That was the NASA. They're fucked, and they didn't care.
No, NASA is it's not the actual...
The space.
Space
it's North America Speedrunning Association.
Yeah. It's
what it is.
And no reset or whatever.
So we've kind of talked about our first impressions. DreamHack versus Lanny TS. I mean, you can definitely see the production value, but besides that and the fact that we had the StarCraft competition going on. StarCraft. It's what happens when you talk for an hour. But yeah, do you guys see any other major similarities, major differences between the two events?
Didn't go to DTS.
What?
I didn't go to DTS.
Okay, I mean, personally, like, it seemed like the space seemed fairly similar with like someone said earlier, I'm not sure who said it, said the Lanny TS 2.0. Is that you, Kat?
It was me.
It was you? Okay, cool. All right, when it comes to a wish list for future events, if, you know, we're lucky enough to get another DreamHack here, what would you like to see, Sarah?
Floor plan, please redesign that thing. It kind of sucked because the WCS was the big event at the end of the day, and it was just so small. And also, why would you put the BYOC in the middle of everything? Mm. Why? Put it on a corner. Like, people do want to watch it, but at the end of the day, just no. Just put it in a corner.
No. Bad dream hatch. No.
No, but it's not even dream hatch. Like, yes, it is, but it's not. It made no sense. Put more space for the sponsors and put more space for the indie. The indie alley was really cool, but it was just so small. I don't know. The floor plan was just weird, and I wish they had made more things. I don't know. For me, that's the main thing. Overall, I was kind of still happy about it. Wish they had been more sponsors that were present.
Yeah.
But at maybe there just wasn't. Maybe there was no compete. Maybe, I don't know. I don't know what happened on that side. But it felt a little bit empty, like you said. So I just hope they just redesign the whole thing so that it just looks better.
It also doesn't help on the emptiness how big that space is, like where the ceiling is.
Yeah.
Just makes it, I mean, it helps keep the temperature down in there and make you not claustrophobic, but it doesn't help the feeling of you want to kind of feel like it's full.
Yeah.
I mean,
go ahead, Simon.
There could have been more BYOC room. I mean, I feel that they were in the back, was kind of in the middle, was really weird. But I feel that it was a lot of empty spaces. So like you know, like Sarah said, floor space, redesign your floor space better, and like have actual events. I feel that apart from the WCS, there was nothing happening.
Yeah, the schedule wasn't really there, eh?
No.
Because I wanted to go and look and see what was on the other stages, but there was nowhere for me to see where the schedule was. I looked at the, I went and looked it up online to try and be like, okay, who's playing what match when? Mm-hmm. And they just had an image and it just said starting at 10 a.m. And I'm like, well, that doesn't help me. It's like 6 p.m.
No, the schedule for that was kind of bad. But no, I mean, I wanted to have big names there. I wanted to have a... It was the first DreamHack in Montreal, so I was expecting a lot of big names that usually come with the name DreamHack. But I don't feel like I had any of that by the end of the day of the weekend, so a bit disappointing in that sense.
Kat?
Well, yeah. Yeah, I mean, for me, it was going to be Lana TS is the amateur, not just like amateur as in it's done by, you know, people from the ETS, but also like it's a competition that's open to everybody.
Mm-hmm.
And, you know, Steph Harvey said in an interview like that LAN ETS is very important in the world of esports because it lets people practice and compete and get into that. Like, you need more open competitions. And for me, it was going to be like, you know, LAN ATS is what you do to get into events like DreamHack. And we show up at DreamHack, and I thought DreamHack was too close to LAN ATS. And I felt like it's great, the BYOC events. I'm sorry one of the major tournaments fell through and we only had StarCraft 2, but I feel, I don't know. And it was a bit empty. It was a bit weird. So I'm thinking if they're coming back, I agree with Sarah, floor plan. Better scheduling if you can. I mean, Montreal Comic Con is a huge event. It's a clusterfuck. There's always schedule changes, but they find a way to make it work. So because for me, the big issue was like, we show up on Saturday and I look at Lee and I'm like, so what is there to do? Where are we going? Like, you were here yesterday. What's happening? And we were a bit just wandering around, just being like, what the fuck is this? Like, photo. And eventually, like, we, after going around the room twice, I was like, okay, I know what I'm going, what I want. But I feel like, promote what you're doing, promote your events, promote your activities. Let me know what is there to do. Because you show up and all you see is booth, and it's like the first thing I saw was like the Bell booth with VR and then a Monster booth offering me free drinks that I thought tasted like shit.
What? The peach one was delicious.
I like the peach one. I know Kat didn't like it.
Aspartame cannot do fake sweeteners. I taste them right away and they make my mouth taste like metal. I'm sorry. I can't.
But
I can't do it.
When you bring up the whole thing, Kat, like, I'm going to compare it to Austin because that's the only mag that I went to. But like, in Austin, the Twitch section was semi-open so you could look into it and it looked very good. They had a Discord section too that you could go and talk to the developers of Discord and other people. They had Alienware. They had a lot more things. And I think that's what kind of was lacking where the expo section was.
Yeah.
Which is sad because it could have been really great, but I don't know why there just wasn't. HyperX was there, and they did like raffles every day.
Yeah. They had a great space.
MSI did well too.
MSI, yeah.
There you go. HyperX was really good.
And the lineup for Steph Harvey at the Aces booth was always
fun. There you go. So those few were great, but then I feel it was lacking that little thing. And then at Austin, the BYUC was there, but the way it was set up was just way better. It just felt cool. I don't know. It just felt cooler in a way.
I agree with all you guys. The last thing I want to add in before I propose you the last question before we end out the show is that something that I personally like seeing is the production value behind the streams and that kind of stuff and the streamers and the casters and all that kind of thing. And I really felt that they had them shoved to the back. Like,
yeah, it was such a weird...
what Max was doing. Max, big shout out. You know, like, I love what you were doing and all this stuff, but I felt that they had you stuck in the back. I would have loved to have seen you like on a stage to the side of something. Like, highlight these individuals. We need to know who they are.
It was such a weird setup.
Yeah, in that sense, I want that production value. Like, it means something to have TV people there, to have casters there, to have all this stuff happening. And that's what people like to see. Like, I kind of had a little geek out moment when I see, like, that ginormous crane at the StarCraft thing, and I'm like, I want to operate that. You know, it just makes things seem important and big and impressive, and except for the StarCraft section, it was kind of missing that.
Yep.
Yeah, for the casters, when you talk about it, like, I want to take the StarCraft portion of the event. In the last few years, there's been kind of reasons as to why they put the casters and all of them behind. There's been events where things didn't go really good, so they had to stop putting the casters in front, like, right next to the stage. Like, my first
all
event...
security, yo.
There you go. It's literally that. Like, I remember my first event was IM Toronto in 2014, and then the casters were on the side of the stage, and then the couch, they always call it the couch. The couch was on the other side of the stage, but then like some incidents happened, and then since then they tend to put the casters and the players in their own little area so that they don't get harassed. The players, just because they need to practice, so they don't want to be always interrupted.
And then I can casters, see that. Yeah. I can see that. It was more just like, you know, like Max and them were broadcasting. They were stuck in the back corner. And like, I just like to see the production value. Put up plexiglass so people can't interfere. I just like the fact that I can be voyeuristic.
You can see it.
The magic. Yeah. Do you know what I mean?
Like, I know. I wish.
Or invest in security. Security is so important. and it's just like,
yeah,
bad security can ruin a very good event.
And I know. I'm the same, Leah. I wish we could see, because when there's videos sometimes of the casters, even like StarCraft casters, like when they're casting, like what you don't see is that they're physically involved in the game. They react. It's just sad that you can't really see that, because it's super fun to see, but then they're
security. Yeah, just like Max saying, he says that Arcation sucked. If I didn't have a friend giving me lights, I was screwed.
So like... Nobody puts Max in the corner. All right, so last thing before we close out the show. This is not the last esports event of this size coming to Montreal. We've got Northern Arena happening in November, and I've got high hopes. What do you guys think? Like, are you... They could easily, with a few tweaks, overpass what DreamHack did.
Northern Arena is not a LAN. It's just a tournament, right?
Right, it's not a LAN.
And we don't even know where it's going to be, right?
Nope, they wouldn't tell us.
From what Carl told us, they want to be above and beyond what's been done so far in the esports world, in North America anyway. So I'm very confident that they'll be able to do something really interesting, especially with the teams they have now and the sponsors they have behind them. I mean, they should be able to kick DreamHack's butt very easily, in my opinion.
Yeah, I think they can only go up, because so far every event we've been to has been one step above in production value and setup. And I mean, like, DreamHack has a great canvas for next year to have the LAN and esport event in Montreal, with like LAN ETS just being just underneath and them being like the pros. And it's just like, and I think Northern Arena can easily come in and just give us that tournament we've been hungry for, even if it's not a LAN, even if it's just competition, but just having that major, like almost like Habs make it to the finals type of atmosphere. That's what I want, because when we went to ESWC, like, the atmosphere was there, the skill was there, the venue sucked.
The teams were there and the tournament was there, but yeah, I mean, don't do that at that space ever again.
I want that stage. I want that arena. I want them to look like the Rolling Stones in the middle of the Bell Center.
No, but like, it doesn't even need to be the Bell Center. Like, at Place Baramansur, like, how they did this setup, like, you just make it wider so that you can have, like, more bleachers and more chill, that kind of stuff. And you'd be good for, like, I don't know, 3,000, 4,000 people. And, like, if it fills out like it did for the Warcraft tournament, it's going to be insane. It's going to be an amazing event. So, I don't know, like, apart from Place Bonaventure, I don't know where they could do that.
Place Bonaventure is not an arena or a show place. It's an expo zone.
Yeah, but then where, like, they can't do it at the Bell Center. So, like, where would they do it?
They could do it at the Bell Center.
Well, I mean, they're not going to be able to fill out 20,000 people to go see.
No, you can. The Bell Center comes in, like, ranges.
Oh, okay.
So you could still do it in the Bell Center if they have the space for it. But there's other places around town that you could do it to that are that same arena style. You know what I mean? If you're doing just that production, like, could you do it in Metropolis?
There's not enough room.
No, I'm thinking more like maybe Place des Arts having like some of the major competition in one of like the theaters.
That could work.
Outside, there's a large expo area where they usually have art installation. Art for weekend and have there like the vendor in the expo zones. And then you can go into a nice, comfortable room that has great sound, lighting, TVs.
We'll have to call Carl.
Max mentioned the new Laval Arena, but it's not ready in time. This is happening in November. That's not going to be open until next year after. So
we'll have to poke Carl to see what they're doing for
Montreal. Yeah, they'll announce soon. I imagine as soon as Fan Expo is over, they're just waiting. They're building the hype for that. As soon as that is over, and I think it might happen at Fan Expo, they'll announce where it's going to be. It's gonna be interesting. Cause where is the Canadian Video Games Awards gonna happen? You know what I mean? Like, that's back in Montreal now too. So wouldn't it be smart to like take this one venue and gear it up for all that at the same time?
Video Game Awards, they must be like at Place des Arts or somewhere by Place des Spectacles. I'm thinking. I mean, where else could they do it? I mean, Metropolis is tiny as shit. When you think about it in the grand
scheme. Yeah, that's true. You can't really put chairs in there in that sense. I don't know. It's just a good stage.
Well, not only that, but like if you're doing a tournament over the weekend, you need more than just the main stage. Like you need places so that players can play the bracket matches, that kind of stuff. So you can't just have everyone on the main stage at the same time. That, which is what ESWC did, which made no sense.
Yeah, feel that. All right, folks, I think that was a wonderful wrap-up of DreamHack. I mean, I'm excited if they come back again.
Yep.
We'll be there with bells on, of course.
Definitely.
And I'm excited to see what happens with Northern Arena. We'll get a taste of it at Fan Expo in 2.5 weeks.
Wow, soon.
Oh my god, it's so soon.
This summer is almost over, yo.
Yay for fall!
Well, yeah, I like fall.
Fuck but, summer!
Yeah, review season. Yeah, it's going to be insane. But so many good games to play. Thank y'all for coming and being on the cast, Simon, Sarah, and Kat. Thank you, Simon, for producing.
My pleasure.
Before we close out the show, just want to remind you that you can track down. There's lots of cool stuff going up on girlsongames.ca as time goes. Catherine just put up all her photos from, and there goes my squeaky chair. She put up all her, it's time for Lady of the New Chair. Kat put up all her photos from the DreamHack event. There's lots of good stuff going up there lately. Round 2 of Minecraft, Your Place or Minecraft has gone up, the interview. So you can go check that out. That was Graf who wrote that. Of course, we always want to thank Fun.io for being our website host. And of course, we have a Twitch schedule because we got a wonderful Twitch stream and they stream on our Twitch channel every week. I don't have the schedule.
Ratchet and Clank with Catalyst tomorrow. And
there
then,
you go.
And then we have Alice doing a Sailor Moon creative stream on Wednesday.
Yay!
And then we have Miss Bianca Donk, another guest streamer. She's back. She's going to be playing Deus Ex Go, who's out that day. So she's going to be playing that game on stream. And then Friday, me, I don't know what game yet. I put No Man's Sky, but we'll see whatever I feel like playing. It might be
mic.
Overwatch.
What's wrong with my mic?
Your mic is fine.
Okay. People are telling me that I'm low.
They're dumb.
Oh. Anyways. That's a wonderful note to end the show. So as always, check us out at girlsongames.ca, social media, the Girls on Games on Facebook, Twitter, and just Girls on Games on Instagram. We're on Snapchat at Girls on Games, and you know, we're going to be back here next week. Next week, we got a special guest.
Mm-hmm. We do?
He's real cool. He's Mr. Tempo. Mm-hmm. It's going to be fun times. It's going to be fun times. All right, so until next week, have a wonderful, wonderful time playing video games. See y'all later.
Bye. I love you all.